It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He's set to join us in just a few moments. One of the topics we'll talk about is the corn market, and especially the fact that we see demand for U.S. corn, but price decreases. Brad Rippey, USDA.
At this time in July of 2024, we were sitting at 68% good to excellent and 9% very poor to poor. Only four of the 18 reporting states are showing a very poor to poor rating in the double digits. And in all four cases, just barely into that threshold. Texas at 10%, 12% very poor to poor in Indiana, 13% in Colorado, 14% in Michigan. You really have to look long and hard to find any large-scale problems with this year's corn crop.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, let's start with livestock cattle on feed report. A bit of a surprise?
Yeah, in terms of cattle on feed reports, I don't remember too many. I don't recall too many in the recent past where there's been such a large miss by the average guesstimate going into the report relative to the numbers that were actually published by the USDA. But here we are. So the cattle on feed number, 98.4% of last year. Expectations were 99.1%, so missed it by about 0.5%. Placements, though, 92.1% of last year, so basically minus 7.9% on the year. And expectations were up at only about minus 1.8. So a huge miss there. And not only was that a surprising number, it was the lowest in the last 16 years. Absorb that for a minute. The lowest number in terms of placements in the last 16 years. Marketings were 95.6. Expectations are now about 96.4. So subtly lower than expectations. But net-net, because of the on-feed number and the placements number, you would expect a rather bullish move. And to your point, we really didn't see it. I would say, had we not been here, and what I'm talking about is the highs of the market and some pretty stratospheric prices at the moment, at least it's the feel out there, and instead we were coming from a lower level, an average level for the cattle market, I would say that normally these types of numbers would get us closer to maybe a limit up move and maybe even limit up all throughout the day. But instead, we did end higher. There's no doubt about that. But the cattle futures market's only up about a penny and a half or so. Feeder cattle up around, we'll give it, you know, give or take about 2 cents. So normally, I would say this would be a much more bullish number, save for the fact that we're trading at the levels that we've been trading at. Now, we did eke into a new high, so we'll see how things go. We didn't settle at the low for the day, so we'll see how things go throughout the week. It's probably going to be more about where cash actually decides to trade to see if we can continue to gain on today's gain or if we're just going to fall back a bit. In terms of just looking at the structure of prices, if you look at the August live cattle future, it's trading around 227 three quarters. That's about where it settled today. Going out, though, into the October, December, February, and April of next year, and into the summer of next year also, we see lower prices. So the market is actually saying, at this point, if you believe in the efficiency of the markets, that things are a little bit overcooked on the upside, and the probabilities of supply and demand finding a lower balance at a lower price is the likelihood at the moment. So we'll see how that plays out. We also got the inventory number and the July 1 cattle inventory, 94.2 million head. That was record low for that day, which is just indicative of anybody who's been following this market already knows that the quantity of head out there is low. Also indicative of that, last week's slaughter, 549,000 head. That's down 14,000 week on week and down substantially from the same week last year, which was 605,000. So again, kind of reinforcing the supply side tightness. We'll see where cash wants to trade this week. Last week, generally higher, about $1 to $4, depending on the region, even though the five area weighted average ended up a little bit lower. Box beef prices settled lower, about 366.70-ish. That was down from about 373.5 the prior week. And that just kind of indicates at the moment a bit slower beef demand at the higher prices. We'll see if that continues as a pattern. Packers, I believe, are working in the red still. So, yeah, there's only so long that can happen until some kind of market adjustment needs to occur, either with higher box beef prices or lower cash in order to bring things back into the green for them. So we'll see how that plays out. Other impacts in the cattle market, we're watching export competition. I guess it's leaning slightly bearish at the moment. Argentina just lowered its beef export tax from 6.5% to 5%. That could make them a little bit more competitive in the global market. And being that there hasn't been any really new news to clearly associate any kind of tariff or trade talks to beef in any wide fashion, I don't see that the export market is going to be doing any better than we already expected to do. So we'll see how that plays out. In terms of the other major protein that we trade here, the hog market, key drivers as of late, cash hog prices have been under a bit of pressure. We got a little bit slower packer demand. Average carcass weights are now actually below year-ago levels, and this for the first time in some time. So that's actually a good thing that might be offsetting the lower cash hog prices, in as much as just the quantity of pork out there being produced. So we'll see how that plays out. Producers at this point could be showing that they're current on the marketing, so that's healthy for the market. Cutout values, pork cutout values have been trending a bit lower. That's not a good thing for prices. And also, seasonally speaking, on the wholesale side of the equation, pork demand tends to fade off in late summer. So that's not necessarily a good thing that we'll be looking forward to. Prices were higher today. The dieseline hog futures up above 40, I'd say all the way out to about July of next year. We're sitting, or actually, about July of next year, the market pretty much gained about 40 cents. So a stable start to the day. In terms of slaughter and supply trends in the pork market, slaughter pace is fairly consistent. Nothing unusual there. Spec positioning, looking at the CFTC and the Commitment of Traders report, seeing where the managed money are placing their bet, still looks to be like it's on the long side of hog futures recently. So maybe that's showing some renewed confidence in the marketplace, especially when you see the beef market sustaining the gains that it's had. Export activity, similar really to cattle, with more of a neutral perspective at the moment. There's been no major export news or any big flash sales. Clearly, the demand from Mexico and Asia are going to be considered going forward the main support for export, for our exports, and hopefully for supporting prices in general. So keep an eye on that to see if any new news comes in terms of any trade deals that might directly impact the pork market. So off to a good start for lean hogs, live cattle, and the feeder cattle today. We'll see if we can sustain those gains throughout the week.
Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading, Chicago, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest is Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading, Chicago. Bob, let's talk grains now. And flash sales for corn, quite a few sales. Market just dismisses. What's happening?
Well, the flash sales are definitely welcome news, but is it enough to offset expectations not only of the U.S. corn crop and its potential yields based on the pretty good weather that we've had throughout the season for the most part here in the United States, but also the expectations of what's coming in terms of South American competition? And clearly the market is saying no, right? I mean, we'd need to see a considerably big trade deal and or some new demand come in or some kind of issue in terms of the supply side of the equation for corn for this thing to really turn around at the moment, at least until we get through harvest. That's just my opinion. We'll see how things play out, but that's just the general takeaway from the way the market's been trading. Commonality between corn, wheat, and soybeans. Weather conditions overall bearish. Got a cool and wetter trend across the Corn Belt coming up. I mean, it's hotter than hot right now here in the Chicago area where I am. I know it's been the same elsewhere, but nonetheless, it's supposed to break into the 70s in a matter of a couple of days. So even when we have these periods of rather hot, at least it's been either preceded or along with some kind of corresponding precipitation. So it just rained here yesterday, by example, just giving you a personal anecdote. And that helps, right? So it takes away, if it's dry and hot, that's one thing. If it's wet and hot, not always ideal because it can be too wet in some places, too hot in others. Maybe some don't get the precipitation. We know all the variables, but net, you might see some kind of yield decrease. But at the moment, everything seems to be pointing more towards sustained yields, which obviously lends to a bit of pressure in the prices, especially when we're not seeing enough export sales at the moment. The South American competition that's increasing, Argentina permanently cut corn export taxes from 12% to 9.5%. So my simple math means that taxes went down about 25%. Okay. That's just from the 12% down to 9.5%. So they, therefore, might be able to get a bit extra business. You got cheap Brazilian corn expected to soon hit the ports. That's going to undercut U.S. prices. So that's not a good thing for corn. And the other thing is those cattle on feed numbers that are bullish for the cattle market aren't so bullish for the corn market because with less number of head to feed, because they're not available at the moment, that obviously reduces the demand on the livestock side of the equation, at least from cattle. And that is yet another bearish element that the market has to absorb and deal with. In terms of Argentina, real quickly, again, not only did it hit the corn market, but it also hit the wheat and the soybean market with some decreases in their export taxes. So again, it wasn't just a corn thing, it was also a wheat thing and a soybean thing in terms of things becoming relatively cheaper out of Argentina, which obviously is just yet another piece of competition that we have to deal with. So that's what we're dealing with in the grain markets. You know, these markets are mostly trading at the lows. I would say soybeans have a bit of a bullish story as long as bean oil can continue to sustain gains and be one shiny element for the market as a whole, for soybeans, that is, and just kind of continue to watch the soy meal crush futures. I think they'll be a good tell. If they start to soften, then that might say that maybe some of the luster for the bean oil demand is pulling back a bit, and that might be a bearish element that starts to build in the soybean market. But for right now, plenty of downside pressure in these markets. It's just going to be a wait and see to see if some new catalyst comes along to kind of change the course.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago. Bob, how do we talk one-on-one?
Sure. Contact information. You can pick up the phone. Give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053 or reach out via email at bmauer@manducatrading.com or come visit our website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com and you can reach out that way also.
Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Approaching closer during the first full week of August.
The biggest, most amazing American farmers market in the history of our country in Washington on the National Mall.
The announcement from Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins earlier this month. Now, additional details about the Great American Farmers Market are available. Held nightly from 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. from August 3rd through 8th. Themes for each day of the event, connecting various aspects of agriculture and its role in the development of our nation through its history, all part of the year-long 250th anniversary celebration of the founding of our country. 50 vendors daily on the mall, representing all areas of the country. More details about the Great American Farmers Market are available online at www.usda.gov/GAFM. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.